everyone, welcome to another episode of the Level 9 podcast. Obviously, I'm Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Jesse. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Alex. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Sun's shining. We're about less than 2 weeks out than from aspect. I'm just doing well.
Yeah, I mean, sun's shining today, but a couple days ago, it was snowing here in Kingston. But yeah, Mass Effect, less than 2 weeks away, May 14th. I bet you're counting down the hours and minutes and seconds somewhere.
Oh, I have a countdown clock on my phone ready to go. I have a screensaver that has like a mat, I change it every day to a Mass Effect character, so I'm ready to go.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm sort of stuck in a certain game that we'll touch on later that's sort of taking up a lot of my time. What are you playing these days?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what are you playing? But obviously, that's going to spoil a bit of the episode, so stay tuned for that. But I've been playing this game on Game Pass that came out. It's called Don't Rain on Your Parade, and it's actually just like a small indie game, and it's actually a lot of fun. You're this cloud that goes around, and your missions to like rain on like they give you like objectives. So like one mission is like rain. I think the first level of the game is you're at a wedding and you're a storm cloud, and you like need to rain on the bride and groom, and then you need to rain on all the guests, and then you just need to kind of like there's objectives, and then as the game goes on, you get a lightning power, you get a twister power, you get a snow power. So like the missions all change kind of differently and based on that. It's just been a lot of fun, actually. It's just kind of one of those games where I'm like, I don't know what I'm playing, so I just pop in and play that. And easy achievements, which I'm huge on achievements, so I beat the game and I got 100 gamer score for that, which is pretty big for an Xbox game. I've been playing that. Second Extinction also came out. I think I kind of told you about that. I played a bit of it's a game preview right now, but I'm playing a lot of that. And holy geez, what a game! It's not by no means it's game of the year candidate, but it's intense. It's very, very intense, and it's a lot of fun. So I've been playing a lot of that, and hopefully I can continue.
Yeah, it's been giving me some Turok vibes based on the handful of clips I've seen on Twitter so far.
Yeah, it's a lot of Turok. It's kind of like Call of Duty Zombies as well. Like it's just hordes and hordes and hordes of dinosaurs. It's a story based type thing, but it's like a open world type thing. So like you land in this one area, you can choose where you land, and you can choose if you want to like north, south, east, west, and pick where you want to go. And like one of them, we had to like I think the mission I was at was. You have to go in this hangar and launch all these supply ships up there. And then, you know, you get the small dinosaurs, which are pretty easy. And then you get these giant, like, dinosaurs that, like, have, like, spikes on their back rolling around, armored. So you got to, like, knock them down on their back and try and kill them with a shield. So it's like Left 4 Dead, if it's dinosaurs, if that makes sense.
It certainly does sound pretty intriguing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's in beta. It's in game preview. A lot of games launch, and, like, not a lot of games, but there's been a couple games that have launched on Xbox in game preview. So like if you want to improve or run into any glitches or things like that, you just you join the developers Discord and send them a message, and they'll work on whatever they need to work on it for you. But it's a lot of fun, so it's holding me over to a Mass Effect pretty much.
Yeah, speaking of gigantic horned monsters chasing you down, on April 29th we got 15 minutes of new gameplay for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart at the State of Play. I have a few things I'm going to talk about. This is because it's my most anticipated game of 2021, but I'll let you sort of open things out with your first impressions of what we saw.
Yeah, so obviously there's a State of Play. Like, they touched base on a couple of indie games. I think it was Among Us and something else. I forget. I joined in after that a little bit because I was in the middle of a game, and I was like, oh, I'll catch it later. So I know Among Us is coming to PlayStation 5, but then obviously the star of the show was Ratchet & Clank, and my goodness, that game looks beautiful. I was sitting there and I was like, it's weird. Like all the other games they've shown for PlayStation 5, Returnal, Resident Evil, all those things, I'm like, not really. Like I'll pick that up when I get a PlayStation 5. But Ratchet & Clank was the first game that actually made me pause and be like, I need to get PlayStation 5 now. Like it just looks incredible.
Yeah, I'm just watching through the State of Play again, and it sort of starts off in this cyberpunk-esque world with Ratchet. The Clankless Ratchet, which we don't see too often, and he's just sort of exploring this world, and it's just incredible how alive and detailed this world looks. This is definitely the cyberpunk game that we wanted this year that we didn't actually get earlier on, but
who would have thought, right?
Yeah, so but I mean, so far it's definitely showing off what the PS5 can do. I personally think this is the biggest jump in Ratchet games from like the PS4 to the PS5, because like we had the PS2 to the 3 to 4, now to the 4 to the 5, and just like the jump from the PS4 version to this version, it just looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks in- incredible. And I think the thing that really caught me off, like really caught me off guard, and I was like, holy shit, at the end of it was just changing dimensions and how flawless that seems. Like jumping from one world to another world, just like on the snap of a finger, and there's really no like lag or loading screens or anything like that. I was like, all right, you know what? This is what next gen was promised. This is what we were promised by next gen. Just, you know, like no loading times or just quick transitions, and it just looked phenomenal. So you could bet as soon as I get a PlayStation 5, that and Spider-Man will probably be the first two games I pick up, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. The gameplay with Ratchet, it showed off some new mechanics too. Like there's wall running here, which looks pretty interesting. The slingshots coming back, which has been sort of a staple in the Ratchet and Clank games. We got Mrs. Zircon, which if you are a Ratchet and Clank fan, you know the backstory with that. And then we also got some gameplay with some weapons. And then it sort of swaps over to some Rivet gameplay with Clank in her hometown, which I heard them mention it sort of like a mix of various planets and previous Ratchet games. So I'm pretty fired up to see what that sort of entails. And then, some gameplay with her too and her massive hammer that she is wielding. And yeah, like you said, I'm excited to slam some things with that. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, the loading times. I mean, the way I think it was Ratchet, he used that rift slingshot, whatever he has, to pretty much pull himself into a brand new world within like maybe a second or two. It just blows my mind, because I'm used to like loading games, just having to put the controller down. You know, you have time to text, you can go to the bathroom, you can make a sandwich, you come back, and then you're still loading. But I mean, it just, you don't have any of those opportunities anymore, because it's just, like you said, almost instant.
Yeah, and I think it's only available for PS5, right? Like, I don't think a PS4 can actually handle this game.
No, it's made specifically for the PS5.
Yeah, so watching this, like I said, this is kind of the first time I was jealous that I didn't really own a PS5. The other games, I'm like, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they're fun, but they're not a must play for me right away. But Ratchet and Clank, I was like, I really need to get a PS5. So if anybody's selling one or giving one away, you can find me on Twitter at AlexLango15. But the games look incredible, and it's made me want to kind of go back and play my PS4, the original, the Ratchet and Clank for PS4. But as I've been telling you, it's kind of hard for me to go back to that, just because it's an older gen, and my PlayStation's so slow. I just can't bring myself back to go play it. But as soon as I can get my hands on PS5, Ratchet and Clank will definitely be on my list of pickups. The thing that really caught me off guard was just like you said, how live the world looks. Just it feels like you're actually there. Which I'm not a big Ratchet and Clank fan. Like, I've never been really a PlayStation kind of guy, so I've never really played any of the Ratchet and Clanks. But I feel like the other Ratchet and Clanks, like, the worlds were there, but they weren't as lively as this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they always seemed massive and beautiful, but you couldn't really see much of it or interact with it. But I mean, like I mentioned earlier, this just seems like a massive jump from the PS4 versions to this version in terms of like just the size and the detail and how alive it really does seem around you. It seems like you wouldn't even have to be there for this world to continue doing whatever it is it's doing.
Yeah, I think the one scene with Rivet, and she had like these grenades or whatever, and like hitting down these flying machines. And I was like, okay, I can get behind this. This looks like a lot of fun. And just the dialogue between Clank and Rivet at that point, I was like, all right, this seems like a type of game, you know, like I can just play and enjoy. I don't need to stress out about dying. I don't need to stress out about being making it to the next level. Like, it's one of those games where I'm like, you know what? I don't care if I repeat this level like 6 or 7 times. I'm just gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, one thing I did see in the trailer is Rivet does seem to have some sort of smaller companion, sort of mirroring Clank a little bit, that I can't wait to sort of see what that entails a little bit more. And then they also showed off photo mode, which is new to the Ratchet and Clank series, plus just showing off what is entailed with the digital deluxe edition, some armor for both Rivet and Ratchet, and then the game, digital art books, digital soundtrack, plus some rare titanium to upgrade your tools with.
Are you going to be picking up that one or what?
I mean, I think it's only $10 more, so I think I might, just because these armors look beautiful.
Yeah, then just a customization. Honestly, I'm not a big photo mode kind of guy. Like, I jump in it every now and then, but this photo mode was like, I just found a letter so you could put like objects in the background, like a spin wheel or a beach umbrella and things like that. I was like, you know what? This is what, like, to me, that kind of embodies what this game is about, is just have fun with it, which is, I'm a big person that like loves those kind of games, which is like, I can just put this game on, you know, laugh, enjoy it. And that photo mode, just kind of, you know, you can kind of set your own props in the background. I was just dying at that. I thought that was funny.
One small detail that they also touched on was the accessibility options, which they're going to go over a bit more soon. I mean, With Last of Us 2, yeah, there was a ton in Last of Us 2, and I'm thinking more games are going to sort of take that route of offering a lot more to do. So I'm excited to see what they sort of introduce into the Ratchet and Clank.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, we've been pushing on this podcast for ages. Gaming's for everybody. Obviously, the more accessibility options, the more people get to enjoy these fantastic games, right? So I'm all for, you know, if you got to delay a game for a couple months just to add accessibility options, go for it. I don't really, it doesn't, nothing about your clients getting delayed, but that's just kind of my thing. Like, more accessibility is better all the time.
So. Now, speaking of massive exclusives, I know you have some Halo Infinite news to share, which I know a lot of people are eagerly awaiting any sort of new information with that game coming out this year.
Yeah, so every month they kind of do this little inside Halo Infinite, and they kind of give you like a debrief of what they've been kind of going on and things like that. So I think last month they were talking about a bit about how the audio is going to work in the game, and the month before that they kind of talked about how they built the graphics from the ground up and things like that. And this month they kind of touched a bit more on PC and the cross compatibility with the Xbox and cross progression, which is huge for anybody that knows Halo. That's huge. Obviously, Halo is a big first person shooter. Probably Xbox's biggest franchise. Like, when you think of Xbox, you think of Halo as their main game. When you think of PlayStation, you think of Last of Us now. When you think of Nintendo, you think of Mario and Zelda. So Halo is that to Xbox. So the fact that they can have cross compatibility, I mean, that was kind of expected, but the cross progression is huge, where you can just jump on your Xbox, your PC, and not lose any progress online or anything like that. Like, that's wicked. They also included crossplay, super ultra wide, triple key binds, and so much more. Halo Infinite on PC is being built from the ground up with the platform strengths in mind. So it sounds like, just from reading it, if you go to halowaypoint.com, you can kind of read what they had that at base, but just from reading it, it sounds like they made this game with PC being the main focus. It looks like everything they built was so it can work well on PC. Obviously, you're gonna get 120 frames per second, 4K resolution on PC. I think Xbox is locked to 60, but it's just like, there's a lot of info. So obviously, I don't want to spend too much time on this because we got something else that I know Jesse's super excited to talk about coming up. But if you go to HaloWaypoint.com, they talk about the art, graphics, and live. They talk about the sandbox, how is the sandbox. They talk to go ahead and depth about the campaign. They go in depth about the audio and how the 3D audio is taking effect with the new Xbox headset. How they work on the campaign. How they the sandbox, which is really intriguing to me, and how they kind of make this world more of a sandbox, which is just not a straight linear Halo game. From what the sounds of it, it looks like there's gonna be like side quests and things like that. So kind of open world, but at the same time, kind of linear at the same time, if that makes sense at all. And then they kind of touch base on art, graphics, and how it's gonna work online. Obviously, they have already come out and said multiplayer is gonna be free to play. So you don't even need to pay anything to play multiplayer. It's just like Warzone. You can just download it and jump in and play. You don't need any sort of description, anything like that. Which obviously the bread and butter of Halo is multiplayer. So that's huge for any Halo person waiting for kind of any news there. And obviously, we're definitely going to see more at E3. They've pretty much confirmed that we're going to see more at E3, which I don't think anybody was really surprised about. They also went into a bit on the accessibility and how they're kind of making this game for everybody. And the biggest thing with Halo right now, though, is it's cool that they're doing this, but the biggest thing that I think they need to hit on just real quick is, like, they don't need to lure me in. I'm already a Halo fan. The thing they need to lure people in is the new generation of Halo fans. Like, you know, like as Xbox guys, we've kind of been Xbox for a while. Any Halo game come out, we're going to get. It's more of the 15, 16-year-olds that have never played a Halo game, that have only been playing Fortnite and things like that. So just from reading anything on this website, I'll post a link on our Twitter page probably after this podcast. I think I shared it, actually. I retweeted. But HaloWaypoint.com goes into a lot of detail of what to expect for Halo. So stay tuned for that. And it's going to be a fantastic game. I just can't wait for it.
You mentioned that free multiplayer. How would you feel about a Battle Royale mode making a debut on the Halo series?
I think they need it, to be honest. Just because, like I said, the people they need to hit about Fortnite and Apex and all those people that only know pretty much gaming and like Battle Royale, like they need to care about some sort of thing. And obviously, you know, the newest hottest battle royale, even if it's only there for like a month or two, like people are always going to jump to the newest one. I don't really care about the battle royale. I probably won't play much of it, but I think they need it just to kind of bring that new generation of people in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be just a bloodbath for multiplayer games coming up, because we have Warzone, which is just as hot as it's ever been. Fortnite is still hanging around there. We have Battlefield. Some news is coming out for that shortly, and it's probably going to release at the end of the year or sometime next year. Yeah, Apex Legends 2. Titanfall 2 is free right now, and then Halo coming out at the end of the year, presumably.
Presumably. I mean, I would imagine it would be, just because it's Halo's 20th anniversary in November, so that just kind of all ties together. Obviously, we'll do another podcast on this later, but there's a lot of things surrounding Halo and Starfield and why Starfield won't come out at the same time as Halo, just for that reason. But well, this is kind of thing was just to talk about Halo and what they released and things like that. So if you have any interest in Halo whatsoever or kind of intrigued by it, obviously it's probably going to be Xbox's first biggest exclusive coming to the Series X. There's a rumor that another one might be coming out earlier, but that's just rumors and we don't really touch on those. So this is something I'm really looking forward to. And obviously, I know you're probably not like, you're like, oh, Halo, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. But that's the Xbox guys. It's kind of a big deal. It's like the biggest franchise on the console. So.
Yeah, I mean, and like you mentioned, growing up, I was on the PS2 and the PS3, so I didn't really have much experience with Halo. I do know it's just a highly respected series and beloved by a lot of Microsoft players. I really do hope that they can make Halo Infinite something special, and it's one of the top Halos of all time, just because, I really want them to hit it out of the park with Halo Infinite coming out.
Yeah, and obviously we kind of talked about our Game of the Years and stuff like that, and I mentioned Halo Infinite as being a Game of the Year contender, but that's only if the other games that are coming out don't hit. I don't think Halo's ever really been a Game of the Year contender, but it's been a huge multiplayer game, so who knows? It might win multiplayer Game of the Year, I don't know, but it just looks incredible from the screenshots. Like, you can tell the work they did from when that first thing with Craig to now, like, they've improved a lot on it. So that year delay is definitely making a lot of sense. And obviously they want to get it as soon as possible, because when you buy the Xbox Series X, who's on the box? Master Chief. And it was supposed to launch with the Series X, but unfortunately they didn't hit that. So I don't think they can delay it any longer. So I'm sure we'll see it.
And staying on the topic of exclusives here, you mentioned this potentially being your Game of the Year, but my Game of the Year came out on Friday night, Returnal. I have been playing this a long time already. I think I started playing on Thursday night, and I've already gotten about 30 to 35 hours logged on there. It's Sunday now, so in like maybe the span of 2 or 3 days.
It's hook, line, and sinker, you, eh? I've watched you play it, and it just seems like every time I turn on my phone, you're going live on Twitch or something playing it. So it's like, it just seems like you're addicted to this game.
Oh, absolutely. I can't remember a game that has sort of sucked up all of my free time recently as much as Returnal has done in such a short amount of time. Like, just from, like I said, I pre-ordered it, and it was live on the PS Store at I think 12 o'clock, so right then I played it for an hour or so, and immediately I just felt addicted and hooked from the opening world. It took me quite a while to beat that first boss. I won't get too in depth into it just to avoid some spoilers, but once I did, the accomplishment that I felt, it's hard to mirror that in other games.
Yeah, it looked like the game looks like a lot of fun. It gives me some serious like Mass Effect / Alien vibe, if that makes sense. Like I think we talked about a bit of horror aspect to it, but the combat and just like the space world, it reminds me a lot of Mass Effect Andromeda in that sort of way. But then the creepiness and the eeriness of it kind of reminds me of Alien or Prey or something along those lines. Is it actually that scary? I've heard it's kind of like a horror, like I wouldn't say a horror game, but there's a lot of like scary elements to it.
There are elements that make it a little spooky, but I mean, I wouldn't really classify it as a horror game. It, like you said, Mass Effect, definitely Alien, Doom a little bit, where you sort of navigate from arena to arena, and then sometimes you even get locked into that arena with various creatures, and then one or two massive ones that you have to clear out before being able to move on. So, but yeah, I mean, I have a list here of things that I'm going to praise a little bit here. The controller, for one, definitely stands out. What they've I think it's Housemarque has been able to do with this controller. It certainly feels like the first PS5 game to really utilize the controller so far. I mean, vibrations with it, I mean, just as an example, it was a sort of a pulsing creature that you can interact with, and like the it was almost a heartbeat you felt in the controller from the center sort of reverberate out to the triggers and everywhere else. And it was just, it's pretty much always vibrating in a different or unique way, or they're doing some sort of rumble. The triggers, you can, if you hold it halfway down, you'll have some resistance. That's your basic fire. And then if you like go beyond that resistance, there's a alternate fire, which I'm a big fan of. I'm excited to see what other games sort of utilize the controller. Like you said, the gameplay, it can go from like fast paced, just trying to fight all these different aliens, to slow pace for me anyway, because I like to do a lot of surrounding research area and try and find everything I can. The trophies, also, there's not that many, and I'm already about halfway through all the trophies. I think I'm like 14 of 34 or something like that. Oh, so
nice. Yeah, that's awesome.
And yeah, like I've seen the difficulty / like strategy of the game. Some people are sort of split on it. They're wanting to be like a save and quit menu, because I know there's some confusion with Returnal and how it plays, but if you die, you go right back to the beginning ship and you're on the first planet and you have to pretty much go through all that again. There are portals early on in the areas once you defeat the boss, so you don't have to go through each area all over again. I tend to do that just so you can kind of boost yourself up with health and equipment, that sort of thing. But if you wanted to, you can just go through each portal and make your way back to where you originally died in about, you know, 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's been a lot of the criticism, is just like their save points, which I get, but at the same time, like, they haven't hidden away from the fact that this game's a roguelite, and this is exactly what roguelite games are. You die, you go back to start, redo it all over again. Hades was a roguelite, and it got nominated for Game of the Year, and actually won Game of the Year a lot. So, like, it's not a new concept, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. It sucks. Especially for people like me who hate dying and hate restarting, but they never really, like, shied away from the fact that this is happening. They've always deemed it as like a roguelite. So this is exactly what a roguelite is. You die, you restart, you die, you restart, you die, you restart until you can complete it.
Yeah, like you said, personally, I'm not much of a fan of those types of game either. I like to keep my progress, and I don't want to have to, you know, restart all the way at the beginning. But I mean, this is sort of a classic game feel where, like, you don't have health regen. If you die, you're right back at the beginning. It does sort of reward you for death too sometimes, just because, like, you can keep some items upon death and upgrades and that sort of thing. And it's just, I did not expect this game to be as addicting as it was. I mean, a few months ago, I wasn't even going to pick this game up at lunch. I was going to wait until, you know, a few weeks, hear some reviews, hear some people's thoughts, and then sort of decide. But the gameplay and reviews we've seen leading up to the release sort of convinced me, and I am glad I picked this up. Like I mentioned before the podcast, I'm hoping I can finish it before Resident Evil and Mass Effect, but worst comes to worst, I'll probably just hang on to Returnal for a little bit and sort of get lost in that world for a few more weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's great. It's great for people that own the PlayStation, because, like, it's a different kind of game for PlayStation. Like you said, it's like you told me on Facebook that it's kind of surprising for a PlayStation game, but in a good way, which is always good for people. Like, variety is always key. You know, PlayStation has these amazing exclusives with Marvel Spider-Man, Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, obviously Ratchet and Clank, but this is like a completely different genre that I haven't seen on PlayStation in such a long time. These games are mostly on PC, and they're mostly like dungeon crawlers. So it's cool that these type of games are coming to PlayStation, which is getting really excited about the future of that. Just, it looks like PlayStation's kind of, they're still pumping out these AAA quality games, but they're kind of going in different directions, which is massive.
Yeah, I mean, we're used to like sort of story-based narrative games, you know, cinematic games, and it's just tense and all that sort of thing. But Returnal is just sort of outside of the box of what, like you said, PlayStation usually does. One small feature I just thought of was every time I log back onto Returnal, it will tell me that my one random friend on my list was last seen in this area, which means that they've died there, and then I'm sort of able to connect to them in the sense of just knowing where they last died, which is, it doesn't really benefit you at all, but it's just sort of a neat little feature that I haven't really seen in any other games.
Yeah, I did see people tweeting that out, and it kind of creates like an inside competition, right? Like if you you have a lot of gaming friends that are playing this game, you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna make it further than you this time. It's kind of cool they do that, and kind of the updates on that. That's pretty awesome. I like that. The one question I had, okay, I guess I have two questions. You said it wasn't like a horror game. Is there any like jump scares in it? Because if it's not, there's no jump scares, I can play it. But if there's jump scares, I might not pick it up.
Oh yeah, no, I think you'd be safe. I mean, there is some sense of a story with like the data logs, because they're pretty much all just previous Celine bodies, which is the main character, and it's just her pretty much talking to herself over these logs about dying, about these enemies, about sort of seeing the same thing. I mean, yeah, you walk into an area, some enemies will spawn, but I mean, that's pretty much the closest thing I could have to a jump scare. There are these sort of tentacle things that if you walk close to them, they'll snatch you up without you knowing. So that would probably be the closest thing to a jump scare.
I can handle those. I mean, like, you know, like in some horror games, you get like a jump scare and like the face pops up on the screen. I can't do that.
Oh, no, I think, I mean, aside from, I have made it into the house once. And it did give me some PT vibes because it switches from over the shoulder to first person and you sort of have to go explore this house. It's only for a few minutes, but it definitely spooked me out a little bit. But aside from that, I mean, I think you'd be fine.
Okay, well, maybe when I got a PS5, I might give that one a shot too. Might ask you to game share or something, basically I can try it out. But and the other question I had is, you mentioned the controller and the haptic feedback and just the sound coming through it. And like, we all know how the famous PS4 controller with the movement thing, and how that was used for a couple of games when it first launched and it kind of just fell off. Do you think this is going to be something that PlayStation sticks with, or do you think it's more just like a gimmick for a couple of games and then they're kind of just going to, developers are like, oh, we can't, like, this is too much to keep including this in our games and just kind of leave it?
I certainly hope that they keep up with it because, yeah, like you said, where you could sort of move the PS4 controller vertically and it sort of does something on the game. Plus the touchpad was sort of just sort of fell off eventually. I definitely hope they keep it. I mean, with the touchpad, it sort of brings up your inventory and stats and details and all that sort of thing. So they are utilizing that as well. Plus everything else going on with it. I think Sony developers and exclusives will focus a lot more on it, but it'll be where like games like Call of Duty and other games that are like sort of PC, Xbox will sort of shy away from it a little bit, but they'll still utilize it somehow. I hope anyway.
Yeah, I hope they do too. Like I played Detroit Become Human and the touchpad was wicked on that thing. And I wish they would have kind of made more games for it, but this new haptic feedback and this way the controller works, like that gets me super excited. Just for someone that doesn't have PlayStation 5, like that's one of the main reasons why I want to get one too, obviously for the games, but that controller is like, oh man, like I love my Xbox controller and I've been one that's saying the Xbox controller is way better than PlayStation controllers, but this one might give the Xbox a run for its money. I can't say that without having a controller in my hand, but this one might give Xbox a run for its money, and I hope they continue using those things because I think that's really cool and just includes the immersive, especially with the 3D audio that they seem to put in their games. Like I hope Sony continues following along with those lines he said the Sony exclusives, I think it'd be fantastic. Like if you could imagine The Last of Us when you're, you know, playing and you run out of ammo and the adaptive triggers aren't working because you're gun jamming or something like that, or they can include gun jams or things like that. Like just so many possibilities.
Yeah, that 3D audio, I've used my headphones a little bit, but it's definitely not what I'm used to because with this game, you just put them on and you just feel like you're right in the middle of everything. Like on the right side, you'll hear something walking from the right to behind you, or you'll hear trees over here whistling.
Oh, that would throw me off.
It's definitely tough to get used to, but it is incredible. But one little hinder on the game that I've seen some people mention on Twitter is I downloaded the Digital Deluxe Edition, which came with several outfits. And I guess with these outfits, it happened to me last night for the very first time. Sometimes you'll get stuck in a room and the doors won't open. You won't be able to pick anything up. And you'll just be sort of stuck there, which does kind of suck because this is a game based on where you die. Yeah. You have to start at the back. So, I had to restart the game. I think I was only maybe half an hour in, so I didn't really lose that much progress. But, I mean, if you're 2-3 hours deep in a run and that happens to you, I would be a little upset.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But I would imagine House Mark would be addressing that pretty quickly soon, hopefully. This game looks really cool, and if I own a PS5 now, I'd probably pick it up just because it gives me those Mass Effect vibes. It would fill the void until that game comes out. But I hope PlayStation continues putting out games like this and just changes up the variety. I love their story games, don't get me wrong. But I think variety is key. And this is just an example of how successful other games on that platform can do, which is massive for Sony. So I'm happy for PlayStation fans, and I hope we can get a PlayStation soon so I can play all these amazing games coming out. And hopefully Xbox starts pumping up these exclusives very shortly as well. So I can enjoy them all.
It's definitely my game of the year thus far. I'm thinking Ratchet will probably make a run for it. Resident Evil as well. I can't really think of It Takes Two. You and I mentioned that one. That could definitely be a contender. Halo Infinite, you're sort of
that, by the way.
Do you have any other sort of game of the year contenders that have already come out or will be coming out at the end of the year?
Right now, It Takes Two is my game of the year, but I haven't really played too many like newer games that have come out this year, so I can't really put my finger on them just yet. Obviously, you know, I expect Resident Evil will probably be up there, just because of Resident Evil, like it's always a top tier game. Returnal, it seems like it'd be up there, but I feel like if Horizon or God of War comes out, that might get knocked down a little bit, if that makes sense. Halo, I don't know. I say it's game of the year, but that's because it's the only really the Xbox exclusive that I can really think about that would really contend for that. I don't know. I don't know if I put Halo in my game of the year. I'd have to play it before I really say it. Returnal seems like it for sure. A lot of people are talking about it. It takes two for sure. We would have God of War or Horizon or both. They both come out this year, which I highly doubt. We're getting one or the other or none. We're not getting both. Agree. But I feel like those games will probably be up there. Mass Effect, it's tough to say. I would put in my game of the year, but at the same time, it's just a remake and there's really no new games to it. So I have no idea how they're going to consider this a game of the year.
Well, Resident Evil remake that came out a few years ago, that was at least a contender for game of the year.
It's true, but didn't they like change a little bit from the actual Resident Evil game? Like, I feel like this Mass Effect is just improved graphics and maybe a bit more. Like, they didn't really change the style or kind of introduce anything. It's just like a legendary edition. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I mean, who knows? We got a lot of
There's a lot of games that have unannounced. Like, I know there's a rumor that Xbox is going to release Horizon 5 soon, which is set in Mexico, which. Not to be confused with Horizon Zero Dawn or Horizon Forbidden West, it's Xbox's racing series. That game never really gets nominated for Game of the Year, so I'm not really too worried about that. Of course, a popular game with Xbox fans. Starfield, obviously, if Starfield comes out, I would be surprised if that's sort of in the running. I don't know. It's tough to say. It's pretty early, but so far the games that seem to be coming out. Like, Ratchet & Clank will probably be up there too, I imagine.
I'm really hoping we see something with Starfield because as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, we've only really seen that the event where Todd Howard sort of introduced it and it was just the title screen. So I mean, really hoping we see something more of it soon because we've seen a lot of games where you see a title screen that's announced and then a year or two goes by and then it's been canceled. So I'm really hoping that we see more of it soon.
I've heard that Xbox wants to get it out this year, but obviously with COVID and work from home and all those things, it's tough to say if it will hit. I've also heard people say Xbox kind of want to push it back to maybe March of 2022 just so it doesn't conflict with Halo sales. Because obviously Halo is their big flagship and it's the 20th anniversary of Halo and they want to pump that and make that their big holiday game. So I don't know. I expect we'll be seeing it soon though. Like, I would imagine, I think it's pretty much ready to go. I think I would imagine we've seen it soon. I don't know if it'd be this year or early next year. I can't see it going any later than, you know, Q2 of 2022. I would imagine they have to work on all these other games as well. Like Elder Scrolls, whenever that game's coming, 2035, who knows? I would imagine we'd see Starfield soon. But obviously E3, we'll see a lot more about that, and I'm sure we'll have some E3 predictions coming up on our next couple episodes. Jesse and I just released a second ever YouTube video on youtube.com/level9. Is it Level 9 Podcast or just Level 9 or YouTube channel? I forget. We're still new to this, so. Essentially, I'm not going to give too much spoilers away, but essentially, Jesse's never played through the Mass Effect series. It's my favorite series of all time, so I gathered up 10 characters throughout the whole franchise. They could either be characters, enemies, companions, or just random NPCs you meet once in the game. And we do kind of did a tier list. The tier list was based on if Jesse would add them to his squad while playing through. Obviously, some of them aren't eligible to be recruited to be part of your squad, so it was kind of interesting to see that. Yeah, obviously, you know, with Mass Effect coming out in 2 weeks, I'm sure we'll be wrapping up the Mass Effect coverage. But that's our second ever video. We are doing a giveaway on our YouTube as well as our Twitch. So once we hit 50 subscribers on YouTube, there'll be a giveaway. Once we hit 50 followers on Twitch. Right now, Jesse's the only one that has a Twitch channel. I am working on getting mine. It'll probably be up in the next couple days. I looked into it a bit more last night. But go give Jesse a follow at Level 9 Podcast. It's just Level 9 Jesse, right?
Twitch is Jesse Level 9. Our Twitter is Level 9 Podcast, and YouTube is Level 9.
There you go. Go give us a follow on all those, and we'll be giving some giveaways. The giveaway for Twitch has been announced already. It is a copy of PS4 version of Star Wars Fallen Order. And then YouTube, we have yet to discuss, but once we start seeing more interaction and more subscribers hit that, we'll definitely be ramping up the giveaways, and stay tuned for that. Awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone, for taking the time out of your day and listening to us. And stay tuned for some more Level 9 content. Take care.